Fantasy baseball season getting pretty close to wrapping up, but we're still talking fantasy baseball here on the podcast. Adam Azer and Al Melchior with Scott White out of town. And what's Chris doing? Just football stuff?
Just football stuff, yeah. I don't know if he's doing anything basketball yet.
But, oh, yeah, he probably is. Chris is a busy man. He covers everything.
Jack of all sports.
But we're here, and we're going to talk about Jake Arrieta, who's maybe going to win the Cy Young. Sashi Iwakuma was great. I want to talk John Lackey. Everything from Tuesday that you need to know. Who to start and who to sit over the weekend. Some DFS advice. Your emails. I don't know if we'll get to any emails today. Might save some for tomorrow. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Al, I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
Can you name the... Well, this is not really a good setup for a trivia question. I shouldn't say, can you name? I should say... Who is the number one second baseman in fantasy, both points and categories, since July 1st? Number one second baseman.
Since July 1st. First name that pops into my head is Yanhervis Solarte.
Oh, no. You don't have to go that deep.
All righty, then. Jose Altuve.
That's a great guess. It's wrong. One more
trivia
guess.
Is fun, but it's not necessarily something I'm good at.
Let me just check your rankings. I'm going to say you don't have him in your top five, but you do have him in your top 10. That'll be my guess. I'm going to go ahead and confirm that before I even look it up. I feel really good about that guess.
All right. Well, how about, so one more shot?
One more shot.
How about Ben Zobrist?
An even better guess, but also incorrect. Robinson Cano.
Yeah, no, we would have been here all day long. It would have been the world's worst podcast because, well, obviously that incorporated that great month that he had.
Uh huh.
But since between then and last night's two homer game, I don't think he's really done all that much, has he?
Well, here are the numbers since July 1st. 329 batting average, 15 home runs, 49 RBI, a 937 OPS since July 1st.
Well, you had me fooled.
It had me fooled. I mean, I saw the two home run game and I said, yeah, let's see what Cano's been doing. He had a little stretch where he was kind of banged up and wasn't playing that well, but, no, it's been pretty consistent production. I'll read you the fantasy points since that mark. I don't know exactly where it starts. Since week 13, okay? So about halfway through the season. And I think a 20 fantasy point week is really good, but 21, 19, 14, 37, 11, 27, 24, 12, 21, 8, 23, 21, and already 14. So he's been, I think, more consistent than we've realized. And, yeah, 8 RBI in his last two games. That helps as well. But I don't know. It's just, it's incredible. It makes me wonder what happens. What do you do with Cano? Who, by the way, I didn't realize this. He hit 351 in August.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, and I think that's the month that I ignored because I just the other day I was looking at the power numbers and seeing that they had really fallen off since July when he got hot, but really neglecting the fact that he was hitting for a very high average. And then apparently this two home run game and maybe whatever he's done since the last time I looked at his stats, which wasn't that long ago, has really boosted the September numbers. So I can't really change the way I would look at him for next year based on, you know, what maybe at most maybe a week's worth of play, probably not even that much.
But it's since July 1st.
Well, I understand, but you've kind of recasted it that way.
All right, I'll tell you what.
But the yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I will look up where he ranked since July 1st before the last two games in which he's hit three home runs and driven in eight runs. Would that have more of an impact on you?
It would help.
All right, I'll do that. Let's move on.
We know he was great in July. How about August 1st?
All right. August 1st
very
until
demanding today.
August 1st until 2 days ago, or August 1st until today?
Until 2 days ago.
All right.
While you're looking that up,
now we're being really mean to Robinson Cano, but I will look that up.
While you're looking that up, so in the month of August, his ground ball to fly ball ratio, as recorded here in the monthly splits on Fangraphs, was just shy of 3-1. So he hit for a high average, but there just really wasn't that much power. So, yeah, I mean, that's a interesting, surprising stat to look at going back to July, but I just think that that was so skewed by the month of July.
August 1st to the 20th? Yeah.
Sure.
Or September. All right, I'll look that up. We'll come back to it. Here's your stat of the day. The National League Central, this is from Matt Snyder on our website. The National League Central, Al, might be the best division in the history of baseball if you consider that it has three teams that are on pace to finish at or above, around or above 95 wins or more. And that would be the second time in baseball history that three teams in one division finish with 95 wins if the Cubs, Pirates, and Cardinals can pull that off. In 1997, the Yankees had 100 wins, the Orioles 97. Did I say 1997? 1977. The Orioles had 97 wins, the Red Sox had 97 wins, the Yankees had 100. That was the only other time three teams finished with 95 wins or more from one division. How about that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so maybe the Brewers and Reds aren't really that bad. They just have
they're pretty bad. But yeah, no, it's tough draw for them. All right, I'll run you through the news and notes, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty from Tuesday. I'm already not liking some of the results I'm seeing here from this Robinson Cano search. But I would say Al's being a Cano jerk. But more on that in a second. Bruce Rondon, no longer the closer, no longer with the team. They sent him home. They have given him detention or a suspension or an expulsion for the rest of the season. Al, they just don't like Bruce Rondon very much right now.
I'm not sure which one of those three applies the most. It felt like a multiple choice question, but yeah, I think you could just summarize it by saying that the Tigers don't like him.
So
they don't like his effort.
Is it Wilson now getting the saves?
Well, it was Feliz who got the chance last night.
Oh,
how it went last night.
Yeah, not very
maybe
well.
Maybe it is Wilson. That's the guy. Just I like him better, even though he has an extremely low strikeout rate for a closer. I just think he's the more effective reliever. I'd avoid that situation if at all possible. I'd rather just go pick up Robbie Ross if I really needed a kind of a deep saves guy.
But if for some reason Wade Davis is unowned in your leagues, and he's only owned in 59% of leagues, well, he's now the Royals closer until the end of the regular season and the postseason. Greg Holland has been removed from the role. You can drop Greg Holland, and it seems like he's been dealing with an elbow injury for a while, Al. Maybe an explanation for Holland's bad year.
Yeah. But yes, if Wade Davis is somehow available in your league, that is your first stop.
59%! I can't believe that. That's very low.
It's lower than I thought. I would have expected, you know, not much higher, maybe like 65 to 70. Because again, at this point, you've got a good number of people who are not really playing anymore.
Well, I think, you know, I'll look up Betances, but I think Betances is probably in the 80s. So if Betances was owned, like, don't you think they should have basically the same ownership percentage? But before this closer news.
Yeah, can't really disagree with that.
All right, Betances is 72.
I just don't know that 59% is an indication that he's going to be all that available.
Right.
But if we're going to, you know, sit here and, you know, judge owners for what they did the first 5 months of the season.
Oh, we're judging.
Yeah, sure. Bad job.
Betances 72% owned. Still no timetable for Troy Tulowitzki. Travis d'Arnaud should be back today. Miguel Cabrera out of today's lineup with a back issue. Adam Jones did not play yesterday. He's day-to-day. Brandon Belt will visit a concussion specialist. Buster Posey sat yesterday with back and hip soreness, but he could play today. Felix Hernandez expects to make his next start. Nolan Arenado got a check on him. He passed a concussion test, but he left yesterday's game early after face planting, I believe. Mm. Barry Zito versus Tim Hudson Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, the A's did the right thing. The whole thing with them saying that Zito wouldn't start because of the innings limit just struck me as nonsensical.
All right, you know,
so he may only give them three innings, but that for me is must-see TV.
The Giants are still playing for something. I think they're six games out, but they host a four-game series with the Dodgers next week. So it seems like a long shot, but still playing for something. I'm sure they're not disappointed to see Barry Zito starting.
Probably not.
Yadier Molina expects to be back before the end of the regular season. Michael Franco, Ryan Howard probably done for the year. Aramis Ramirez left yesterday's game with a groin tightness. All right, Logan Verrett, he struggled last night for the Mets, Al, but he's 6% owned. Is Logan Verrett worth stashing in a dynasty league?
I would say generally no. Sort of depends on how deep the dynasty league is, but I actually do own him in the Dynasty League that Scott is the commissioner of, but that's a Dynasty League that's a head-to-head format with relief slots, and Verrett is and will be next year relief eligible. So, and I'm not sure he's a keeper for me in that format, and that's, it's a deep league with RP slots, so if he's not a keeper in that format, he's not a Dynasty keeper, and I'm still on the fence about it.
Jonathan Lucroy could play some first base, and he looks like he will be back this season. He won't catch, but Lucroy could play some first base. Steven Vogt might be able to catch this weekend. Michael Brantley left last night's game with a shoulder injury, and there is still no timetable for Carlos Gomez's return. And if you want to be a jerk about Robinson Cano, between August 1st and September 20th, he was the sixth best second baseman in points leagues and the eighth best second baseman in roto leagues.
So, well, at least that makes me feel a little better, because didn't we have a discussion yesterday about the top five second basemen? Or maybe I just...
We talked shortstops.
Okay, well, maybe that was a discussion I had on Twitter. In any event, I left him out of the top five, and that makes me feel a little better about it.
All right, then. Hey, who stood out to you yesterday, Al Melchior?
Well, Adam Azer, you already very briefly mentioned Hisashi Iwakuma. And, well, actually, I feel like we should probably start with Daniel Norris. yeah, we'll come back to Iwakuma.
Okay.
Because, I didn't see the game, but that must have been very interesting that the Tigers were on the verge of throwing a combined no-hitter, and Norris started it off with five perfect innings.
Yep.
And so now that's two starts where he's been on a very limited pitch count, but really made the most of it. And good stats, but here's a stat I find really interesting. Over those two starts, he has a zero BABIP.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't get any lower than that.
No.
So it's not to say that I think Norris is bad, but I did advise several people not to start him yesterday, as much for the innings limit and the pitch count as for what he might do during those innings. But I still think he's a risky guy. He allows a lot of fly balls. The control was very good yesterday, but I'm not sure that you can count on that consistently. And I know that he has not many starts left, but I wouldn't run out and pick him up or view him as must start just because of these, this one particular start where he was perfect for five innings.
His next matchup is scheduled to come against Texas, and it will be at Texas. Unless they push him back and it's at the White Sox, but they're in the very middle of the pack team against left-handed pitchers. So it's an interesting, it's an interesting matchup for Norris.
It is, and I would expect that he'll probably be able to throw a few more pitches in that start. But, I just think that, people might overreact to Norris in what will be, the most important week of the fantasy season.
Yeah, one hit in two starts over 8 2/3, and that hit was a home run, so there's your zero BABIP. 63 pitches yesterday for Norris. All right, Jake Arrieta, Al. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, what could you say?
Complete game shutout, 3 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts against the Brewers. And last 5 starts for Arrieta, 8 innings or more in all 5 of them, 2 total earned runs. And I don't know. Here's something I'll say. I think Joe Maddon might want to ease up a little bit on Arrieta. He's thrown between 112 and 123 pitches in all 5 of those starts. He's at 216 innings. He was at 176 and 2/3 last year. Those are both career highs. So I don't know. Relax. I want to feel great about Jake Arrieta going into next year. To be quite honest, if I do want to feel great about him, I'm going to root against him in the wild card game. I'm going to hope they're one and done, because the innings is just insane right now, and it's a big jump from last year.
That is a concern. I just saw a story this morning, and I don't know how much this would affect Arrieta or anybody else in the Cubs rotation, but should the Cubs advance to the NLDS, that Maddon said he wouldn't be opposed to going bullpen in game one, bullpen game, with Travis Wood and Clayton Richard, and I'm trying to remember who's the other long-inning guy that they've got.
Oh, my gosh. Why would they do that?
Well, Travis Wood's been really good in relief. Clayton Richard's not been bad.
Yeah, keep him in relief.
Well, I don't know. If you're an Arrieta owner, in a keeper league, maybe you like that.
Well, yeah, I guess, but also I do like flamingos at press conferences.
Who doesn't, really?
Which is what Joe Maddon pulled off yesterday, or whenever that was. Well, okay, Arrieta's incredible. Where is he next year?
What round?
Yeah, what rank?
I would say, probably fifth or sixth for me. I'm trying to think, just top of mind.
Bumgarner or Arrieta?
I say I'm going Bumgarner.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that's just by the gut, and I think that they're probably going to be back-to-back in whatever order, because that's about how I value him. You know, here's the thing, because Arrieta and Greinke, something that they have in common this year, both have been unbelievably dominant, just put together crazy long streaks of greatness. By the way, I've got Arrieta seventh right now, so I could see maybe moving him ahead of Kluber. That would make him sixth. Anyway, he and Greinke, like, based on what they've done this season, it's almost as if they've kind of figured out BABIP. Because neither one is a strikeout pitcher on the order of Kershaw or Sale. Neither one is, well, actually, I take that back. Arrieta's been a really, really good ground ball pitcher, and that helps him a lot. But it's sort of hard to add up, what has made him so dominant. And both he and Greinke have just really beat the odds on BABIP. With Greinke, there's an explanation, which is that he's really mastered the outer third of the outer thirds of the strike zone. I haven't really, looked at the heat map for Arrieta and to see how he's doing it. So maybe once I look closer, I would put him up ahead of Bumgarner, but as of right now, I'm not sure how he's done this.
How about Hisashi Iwakuma last night? 7 scoreless, 3 hits, 1 walk. Oh, just like Arrieta, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts to Arrieta's 11. But yeah, this was at Kansas City. 10 strikeouts at Kansas City.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And over his last 10 starts, he's got a 12% whiff rate, which is really very good for a starter. And that includes not only that start against the Royals, but 2 starts against the A's, who are almost as selective a lineup as the Royals are. And not a lot of whiffs in those 2 starts. So even with those 2 mixed in, 12% whiff rate over the last 10 starts, and really great control, throwing 70% of his pitches for strikes. So this looks like a version of Iwakuma that's maybe the best we've seen so far ever.
Good for you, Hisashi Iwakuma. Last guy I wanted to highlight was John Lackey, who is probably having his best season. He's got lowest ERA of his career, 3rd lowest whip of his career, which is still pretty high, 1.22. He just... bad whip guy. But last 6 starts for Lackey, for a ton of innings, averaging about 7 innings per start, 3-1, 1.74 ERA, 12 walks and 41 strikeouts in 41 and a third. Lackey leads the National League with 28 double plays induced. So that is helping.
I saw that and was really surprised by that, because you figure that honor would go to a ground ball pitcher, a Dallas Keuchel, a Brett Anderson, somebody like that, not John Lackey.
Well, I don't know. He's leading the NL. I don't know if he's leading all of Major League Baseball.
Okay. Well, I think he may be leading the majors.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's a ton of double plays regardless.
Yeah.
I guess when you give up a lot of base runners, you have a lot of opportunities for double plays. Does that mean he's been lucky this year, or does that mean that the Cardinals version of John Lackey is going to be really, really good?
Yeah, I'd lean a little closer to Lucky. I think Lackey's good. I don't think that you can expect him to be this good going forward, going into next season. Certainly has great stats in Busch Stadium, and I'll buy those. But
right.
Yeah, I think this will be his career year, probably by a lot.
Any other standouts?
A few. Couple more pitchers, couple lefties. Matt Moore, really regret having dropped him now. 2 great starts in a row with great control, which is really something from him, and an insane 17% whiff rate in those 2 starts.
Yeah, but it was a 2-start week, and you're going to have to deal with Toronto on the road this weekend. So I guess it'll probably be worth it now based on what he did yesterday, but I understand why you wouldn't have started Matt Moore.
Yeah. Well,
in a daily league, are you starting him against Toronto, at Toronto?
I'm not sure. It would depend on those options, which is another way of saying, I still don't view him as must start in a daily league with that matchup, but I might. I'm not ruling it out at this point, which is, you know, a week ago I would have said no way without even looking at anything.
Anyone else, Mr. Melchior?
All right. And then, yeah, second lefty has promised, Henry Owens. Not really a great start overall, but 19 swings and misses against the Rays, which isn't really all that easy to do. And pretty good control. So, I think after the last start, I'd made the point that when Owens has pitched against teams that are kind of aggressive, he's done really well. But when he, you know, goes up against more selective teams, he has really bad control and he kind of gets clobbered. The Rays sort of in the middle, but, I know it's sort of an interesting trend with him that he's getting the swings and misses in general, but an extremely low called strike rate. So it doesn't, that suggests that he does, even if he has good control at times, he doesn't have very good command, that he's, you know, he's not, he's getting swings and misses, but, you know, he's also been sort of hittable in the zone.
Well, his last start was a very good one before yesterday, which was, you know, solid. Okay. Last start was 7 2/3 scoreless innings at Baltimore, and that's who he faces this weekend, only at home. So Henry Owens is 35% owned. Would you roll the dice this weekend against the Orioles?
And see, I would, because with the pattern that I was talking about, the Orioles are the type of team that really kind of plays to his strengths and kind of masks his weaknesses in terms of inconsistent control. So, I would definitely start Owens against the Orioles.
Matt Moore, Henry Owens, are you targeting either of these guys in drafts next year? Because you have not been a Matt Moore believer.
You have not been?
You have not.
Oh, no, I definitely have not been. I'm very encouraged by these two starts. Depending on how he finishes the rest of the way, you know, that I think that's going to have a lot to do with what his stock is and whether or not I would certainly, you know, go after him as a late rounder. I wonder how much hype there might be, you know, going to the offseason with him, because I'm not willing to, you know, bet everything on a few late season starts. But if I can get him cheap next year, I'd be very excited to do that. Owens, I don't really see getting him in a mixed league. He's somebody I could see, or at least a standard mixed league. He's somebody I could see that I'd be able to add via waivers, and I would certainly, like, I'd have him on my scout team.
Right. I never use the scout team.
You know, I don't use it much, but, you know, for somebody like him where, you know, he's kind of a sleeper and it looks like sort of a deeper league sleeper, but, you know, might break out to a higher level, then, you know, I want to have some way to track him regularly.
It's more of a theoretical scout team for me. Like, yeah, I'm scouting you. You're not,
well,
like,
yeah, I use the theoretical scout team a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody does. Very important team.
It's a feature we have on the site.
So, yeah.
And I'll just throw out one more guy because this has been pitcher heavy. Mikey Matuk. I hope I'm pronouncing that
right. I'm glad you pronounced it because I heard his name pronounced a bunch of times last week and I forget every time. I think you're pretty close if you're not there. And he is in the notes and he's hitting very well.
And I like it too because you can just play, you know, use this name in a sentence. You know, Mikey Matuk my PlayStation away.
Exactly.
Yes, that's fun. But he hit his fifth home run last night, which is more than he hit all year in AAA.
Yeah, he's batting .301 with a .363 on base, a .566 slugging, and 83 at-bats. He also has 3 steals and 6 attempts. 5 walks, 24 strikeouts. Mikey Matuk, are you interested in adding him in any leagues?
Deep leagues, yeah. But, well, here's the thing. And it might have to be a daily format because all 5 of those home runs have been on the road, and next week is a homestand.
That's interesting.
But so it's more of a theoretical scout team for next year.
Theoretical scout team, all right.
Because it's very reminiscent to me of Kevin Kiermaier last year.
Yeah.
Matuk comes up with a very good reputation for defense and speed, but he's doing a whole lot more than that. So I'm just really interested to see how he does this final week and a half.
I'm sure the listeners know. Because, you know, you're, at this point, you're listening, you're probably a pretty hardcore baseball fan. But if you don't, Kevin Kiermaier is a ridiculous center fielder. It is a joy to watch him. He's insane. And Jose Bautista yesterday made 2 plays that were just incredible with his arm. Actually, one of them was a bit of a high throw that Donaldson made. Such defensive gems yesterday, Donaldson and Bautista.
And Lindor, did you see that one?
No, I didn't see the Lindor one.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, again, he also comes with a great reputation for defense, but made a pretty spectacular play.
Yeah, that's not too uncommon for him. FanDuel, yep, been good to us the last few days. Been playing some tournaments, some 50-50s, and Al's been giving great advice here on the podcast. If you are into Daily Fantasy, I don't think there's much baseball coverage on our live show, but we still have the Daily Fantasy show, DF Live, 4 p.m. Eastern time on CBSSports.com, Monday through Friday. It's good stuff, mostly football these days. But there's still fantasy baseball to be played. It continues through the playoffs until the World Series. Has to be at least two games going on to play some Daily Fantasy. If you sign up and you haven't used our offer code, you can use CBS Pod. If you haven't used any offer code, CBS Pod, and your first deposit gets matched up to $200 by FanDuel. That will get earned as you play. You can play in a small contest, big contest, high stakes, 50-50s, whatever you want. Starts at just $1. There are no sign-up fees. And if you're going to play Daily Fantasy, you better play on FanDuel. It is by far the best Daily Fantasy website out there. Trust me, I've tried them all. FanDuel is clearly the best, and that's the one you want to be on. Our offer code, again, is CBS Pod, and we'll probably have some time to help you out with a lineup for tonight. Al, I got a bunch of names here, hitters and pitchers. We've covered some of them. Let's cover some more. Greg Bird, 5 home runs in his last 7 games, a home run in 3 straight games, a 3-run homer last night. In the minors this year, Greg Bird hit 12 home runs in 318 at-bats at 2 levels. 12 home runs in 318 at-bats. In the majors, 10 home runs in 121 at-bats. My goodness, he's 28% owned.
I'm going to do a very quick stat look up here because coming into the season, I thought if Bird ever got a chance, and I didn't really think it was likely, but I thought if he ever got a chance to really play regularly, he could put up some great power numbers, much like he's doing so far. And that was really based on the fact that in the minors coming into the season, he just had a ridiculously high fly ball rate. And this year it went down a little bit, but so he is hitting a fly balls at a little bit of a higher rate since coming up to the majors. But I guess the point is just there's definitely some power there. If you looked at this year's minor league numbers, you might not have expected it to this degree, but given that he's also still doing this after he's been up for a while, I think it's very impressive, and I think he's somebody that you can trust in the final week.
Yeah, it is. I got really lucky with him. I was desperate for a corner infielder. I said, all right, I'll try Greg Bird. And, he's already pretty much made your week with 2 home runs and 4 RBI. All he has to do is be somewhat respectable the rest of the way. All right, next up is Angel Pagan. So they're owned in about the same amount of leagues, Pagan and Bird. Pagan, since coming off the DL, .307 batting average, 3 home runs, 8 RBI. Last 21 days, he's a top 20 outfielder. Who are you more interested in, just in a vacuum, Bird or Pagan?
Well, I would say Bird. If I needed batting average or steals, then probably right. Pagan. But in the vacuum, I'd rather have Bird.
Cody Ashe, 4 home runs in his last 8 games, 2 of them last night. Any interest? 5% owned.
Nah, not really. His power numbers are really, really slanted, to the righty splits, versus righty splits. But even so, they're not that great for somebody that, I guess even to third base, if you're using him at third base, it's really not that impressive.
Aaron Hicks in September, only batting .243, but he's a top 20 outfielder in points leagues, not nearly as good in Roto. But Aaron Hicks has got 2 doubles, 3 home runs, 10 walks, 13 strikeouts. He's doing all right right now.
How would you
compare Aaron Hicks to Angel Pagan?
If it's an OBP league, I think I'm going Hicks. I think if it's straight up average, I'm going to go Pagan.
All right.
The guy, by the way, that's interesting, kind of just calling a quick audible here, his outfield mate there in Minnesota, Eddie Rosario, didn't realize up until very recently what a really good second half he's having. He's just really kind of sold out for power, and it's working for him.
Yeah, Eduardo Escobar They're having a pretty good run. They're right there in the mix. That's pretty much all I have to say. If Dozier could just hit for them, that'd be nice, huh? All right, so we've talked about Cody Ashey, Aaron Hicks, Greg Bird, Angel Pagan. These are guys that might be available in your leagues. Tommy Pham, another double, two RBI yesterday. Mikey Matuk, as we talked about, 4% owned. Anything to add about Tommy Pham, who we did cover a bit on yesterday's show?
Yeah, well, with each performance like that, my concerns about playing time for him are minimized. And I don't think Matt Holliday will now, Holliday's hurt, right?
Yes.
So he's less of a threat than he was before, which wasn't really that much of a threat. So yeah, it's still a day-to-day thing for me to make sure that Pham's in the lineup. But if he's in there, I do trust him to hit.
Jason Kipnis has been struggling since returning from shoulder inflammation. He's batting .217 in 30 games with only two home runs, no steals, and one attempt. But he does have eight doubles. Is this just regression? Because he was hitting, you know, he was in the running for, like, not quite the batting title, but up there. You know, just regressing? He's down to .301 right now.
Yeah, it's regression. It's regression plus because he was really fueled by hitting a lot of line drives for most of the season, a rate that didn't really look sustainable to me. And now he's gone to the opposite extreme. So that's unfortunate because for him, the happy medium is probably where he would settle in. But I don't think Kipnis is this bad, but there's no way that he was as good as he was earlier in the year.
I just hope for Kipnis it's not another case of him coming back from an injury and suffering for the rest of the season. Now, last year, that injury was really early. It was the oblique strain, and he had a terrible year. This year, the shoulder injury, he comes back in late August or September. Yeah, well, it's been 30 games, so let's say a little over a month. And, I don't know. It could be that.
No, that's a good point. Cause like I say, it's not, it, this looks like much more than just regression.
Right, right. So would you sit Jason Kipnis?
I would consider it. Yeah.
How about some of the pitchers who went last night? I had decent hopes for Gio Gonzalez, mostly for his next start at Philadelphia at home, actually. But he was terrible yesterday. Six hits, four runs, two walks in 4 2/3 against the Orioles. You know, his previous three starts were just dynamite for Gio Gonzalez. Sorry, Al. I don't know where that came from.
Good times.
18 and a third innings, three earned runs. That was a good one. And 26 strikeouts. Anyway, would you at least trust Gio Gonzalez this weekend against the Phillies?
Yeah, I would. I would. I mean, they're a pretty good matchup again. And as you mentioned, had been pretty solid prior to facing the Orioles. So not a slam dunk, but I imagine he'd be one of the options I'd want to start.
Do some start or sit. Lance McCullers, two starts next week at Seattle, at Arizona.
Definitely start him, although it's because it's two starts for McCullers. He's been really, really good since coming back. But I think he's had, other than the first start when he faced the Dodgers, I don't think the matchups have really been that challenging. And I think he might be a bit overrated, but not so overrated that you would sit him with two starts.
Irvin Santana. Wow, he's pitching great. Last five starts for Santana, seven innings or more, two earned runs or less in all five, 39 strikeouts in 36 innings at Detroit this weekend.
And as I say, whenever Santana goes on a streak like this, that just means all the more that he's due to blow up. But Tigers now are a really good matchup, especially for a right-handed pitcher. I'm always nervous, though, about starting Santana. Given that matchup, I might lean towards starting him.
Tom Kohler, Atlanta at home this weekend. Could be sneaky, Al. Could be sneaky. Just like Bartolo Colon tonight against Atlanta.
This is the movable force meeting the resistible object.
Well, look, it's a guy who has after a bad start last night at home, he still has a 3.12 ERA at home. Atlanta's awful.
But Kohler's been just pretty bad lately. And yeah, the home numbers still look good, but he's not throwing strikes at all lately. So I think even the Braves could exploit that. I would say Kohler. I don't trust him at all right now.
Robbie Ray at San Diego this weekend. How's this for a stat? Robbie Ray, 5.20 ERA at home, 2.49 ERA on the road, and he's at San Diego.
I'd probably start Ray. I'm not sure what the Padres' numbers are against lefties. I would guess probably not that great.
I'll look it up for you. But first, here are tonight's games. I'm going to give you the pitching matchups, and just you tell me start or sit each guy. Some of them will be obvious, but Yankees, Blue Jays, Ivan Nova, Marcus Stroman.
Start Stroman, sit Nova.
Chris Tillman, Max Scherzer, and the Orioles Nationals.
Yep, start Scherzer, sit Tillman.
Drew Smyly, Rick Porcello, Rays, Red Sox.
Ah, that's tough. On both sides, that's tough.
Yeah.
I probably would lean towards starting both.
Oh, okay. Oh, Stroman, your favorite so far, other than Scherzer?
Yes.
Braves, Mets, we've got Williams Perez and Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, I'd start Bartolo.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for Al Melchior to say that. That was a big step right there.
Thank you.
Next game, Phillies, Marlins, David Buchanan, Adam Conley.
Sit them both, although I have been intrigued by Conley, and this is a pretty good matchup, but I don't trust him that much yet.
I wonder if there's going to be a matchup where I just don't know who the heck that pitcher is. It's very possible this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Brewers, Cubs, Zach Davies, Kyle Hendricks.
Definitely sitting Davies. I think I'm sitting Hendricks, too. I've sort of viewed him as unexciting but reliable, but not really that reliable lately.
Roenis, Elias, Yordano, Ventura, Mariners at the Royals. Elias, Ventura.
I'd start Ventura. I would sit Elias.
Next up, we've got Corey Kluber, Phil Hughes.
Yeah, start Kluber, sit Hughes.
Brandon Finnegan, Lance Lynn at St. Louis here.
Yeah, definitely starting Lynn at home.
Yeah, even though he's been bad.
Yeah, I'll roll with him.
Okay.
And won't start Finnegan.
Charlie Morton, this is a Colorado game, forget it. Morton, Bergman.
Yeah, sit them both.
Chase Anderson, Zach Greinke.
Yeah, once I think it's pretty obvious. Start Greinke, sit Chase Anderson.
Colby Lewis, Felix DuBrant at the Rangers are at the Athletics. Lewis DuBrant.
Start Colby Lewis. He was made to pitch at Odaco Coliseum.
And Jake Peavy, Andrew Cashner in the Giants Padres game.
The sit DuBrant was implied there.
Yes.
So Peavy and Cashner, mm-hmm. I'd sit them both.
And San Diego has the sixth lowest OPS against lefties this year, by the way.
All right. Good segue, too.
So, wait, who was that against?
Cashner and Peavy? Are you talking about?
No, why did we look up San Diego against lefties?
Who was facing San Diego?
Oh, Robbie
Ray. It
was
Robbie Ray.
All right. Well, we know the pitching matchups for today. Who's in your FanDuel lineup?
Glad you asked. All right. So, I am going with Max Scherzer as my starter. And it's not often that I pick a pitcher based on salary constraints, but I think the difference between him and Greinke isn't enough for me to pay extra for Greinke.
It is enough, I think. Well, no, it's enough.
Well, and especially in FanDuel.
It's a lot of money. It's $1,600. That's a lot. I think Scherzer's a better choice.
I think Scherzer's a better choice, too. And I think he may actually just be better for FanDuel because, as I said before, the genius of Greinke this year has been kind of exploiting balls in play, and you don't really get rewarded for that in FanDuel unless that just helps you stay in the game longer, which it does. But I think the strikeouts are going to elevate Scherzer to a higher point total, and you're going to save money. So I'm going Scherzer, and then
Let me just stay on pitchers real quick. If you want to save money, Stroman maybe.
Oh yeah, no, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean it's not a very easy matchup, but he pitched pretty well. I think he had 4 shutout innings against the Yankees, and then he gave up a 3-run homer. So the final line didn't look great, but you know, he's coming along slowly. Colon is probably not going to strike a bunch of guys out, and he's fairly expensive. He's more expensive than Stroman. Those are the only guys. Kluber you could go with $10,100 against the Twins.
I mean, they're all fine, and I would, you know, be good with those, any of them in a tournament.
Sure. All right. Anyway, go on, sir.
Okay. I've got Miguel Montero against Zach Davies. Wonder how long I'm going to be doing that. 2,800. And initially I actually had Cameron Rupp against Adam Conley. Rupp has really good splits, especially OBP, which in a cash game is to me the most important stat. against lefties. But Montero was 100 cheaper, and he's just, I think, better and more reliable. And I'm going to pick Mike Napoli again tonight against another lefty, Dubron. Only 2,200. So to me, Napoli's a must start.
Wow, 2,200. That's very nice.
Yeah. I've got Derek Dietrich against David Buchanan, 2,300. Great splits against righties with a good OBP. And David Buchanan, just not a good pitcher and, you know, could walk a lot of guys. So I do like Dietrich. I went with your advice, Adam, and I started my outfield by putting Ben Revere in there at 2,800.
Damn right.
Especially with the Vatanova pitching. Could be a lot of runs scored in that game. So, yeah, Revere, I think, is really good. And then I picked on Buchanan again with Christian Yelich at 3,500. He's had to walk in a lot lately, Yelich, which is unfortunate because the batting average has been really high for, almost 2 months now. But, you know, I like the matchup for Yelich. And then Charlie Blackmon, I wanted to have at least one outfielder from that game, Pirates at Rockies. And, I actually decided to pick on Charlie Morton because he's just not very good against lefties. And I imagine he's going to really not be good against lefties at Coors Field.
Okay.
So when Charlie Blackmon there, 4,700.
I'm struggling to make a lineup right now because I didn't want Votto. I put Edwin Encarnacion in my lineup. So with Scherzer and Edwin Encarnacion, it's kind of tough, but it's doable. I got Cervelli in at 3,000. He's at Colorado. I got Revere, of course. You know, Ellsbury's hitting very well. I don't know if they've raised his price, but he was a great bargain yesterday. Ellsbury is 2,700. I think that makes a lot of sense. He's officially hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And, that's a great price.
So I'm not going to, again, I think it's a disservice when I come on here unprepared and give advice, but Revere and Ellsbury are two good guys to look at, and we like Scherzer, and I think Cervelli at 3,000 in Colorado is not bad, but I think the Blue Jays should have a pretty big day against Ivan Nova. And that's all I got, Mr. Melchior.
Yeah, that sounds good, and my shortstop, it mentions Corey Seager. I think that's a pretty good price, 3,100. I'm not sure why.
Oh, yeah.
He is 3,100.
That's a great price. We can make that work. Dexter Fowler at 3,100 as well. Against Davies.
Yep.
Fowler's just a guy, like a leadoff hitter in a good lineup is a cheap way to get some fantasy points with runs scored. And Fowler and Revere are good players in their own right. So there you go. There's our 2 cents. For Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. We're back tomorrow with some more fantasy baseball talk. Send us your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Goodbye.